Okay, the day is April the 19th, 1989, and the day is Wednesday, and we're in Pendleton, South Carolina. The time is at 2 o'clock, and we're in the home of Mr.
Robert H. Thompson.
Would you please give, my name is Vannie Daysmore, by the way, and I'm from the McKissick Museum at the University of South Carolina in Columbia. Okay.
Well, my name is Robert H. Thompson. Mm-hmm. My birth date is August 18th, 1926. My family was originally from here. They've been here forever, seemed like. Mm-hmm. But
could you give me a general date, like in the early 17, 1800s? Or?
I'm sure it goes back to the 1700s. We have that documented in our family history book, but I don't know where that is right now.
Okay.
The beginning of the Thompson family began in Walhalla. It began when the Germans settled in Walhalla. Walhalla is a German name. The Germans settled in Walhalla. And my family, the beginning of my family had its roots there.
Okay, could you tell me approximately how far that is from Pendleton, where we are now?
That is about not quite 30 miles from here.
Okay.
30 miles northwest of here.
Okay.
And the Germans that settled in Walhalla, in that family, the Grisham family, I believe it was, there was a young girl, an Indian girl, who was a servant to the Grishams.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a child for the owner. Mr. Grisham, who was the settler that owned her, that she worked for. And from that union, a child was born, and the child's name was Betty Thompson. In later years, she married a black Mexican that migrated this way.
Mm.
And that was the origin of the Thompson family.
Mm-hmm.
The Thompson family has been in this area for seven generations. I'm the fifth generation.
Mm.
The
given your great grandfather's name, that was Reuben Thompson.
My great grandfather's name was Reuben Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the family really took off during that time. They live right on the outskirts, right on the edge of the Pendleton Township,
mm-hmm.
an area called Oak Grove now.
Mm-hmm.
It's out in the area where the Woodhaven Golf Course is now. They own that land out there.
Mm-hmm.
During the time that they were living there, they founded the Oak Grove School.
Mm-hmm.
And my father's sisters are the ones that taught first in the Oak Grove School.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Came from a family of 12 children.
You're from a family of 12 children?
No, my father.
Oh, your father.
From 12
okay.
children.
Oh, okay.
So our family is rather large.
Right. Well, how many sisters and brothers do you have?
I only have two brothers and one sister.
Uh-huh. Okay, you mentioned that your great-grandfather
mm-hmm.
was black and Mexican. Where did he come from? I mean, what?
My great-great-grandfather
was a black Mexican.
Okay.
They don't know where he came from. They say he was a black Mexican. That's all that we can find out about it. He's
uh-huh.
a black Mexican, and he migrated into this area.
Right.
And he married the daughter of the Grisham and the Indian slave girl.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the beginning of the Thompson family.
Okay. Would you say that, you know, you're saying slave. Would you say, I know there was a large Indian population in this area. Would you say that there was many Indian slaves? Originally?
I think Indians were not really slaves, but this was one that was domesticated and worked in the home of the Grishams.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. And you've mentioned something about a church earlier.
Well, the church that I'm still a member of, and I'm the president of the trustee board of the church, like we have been for generations. When the church was first founded, my great grandfather Reuben Thompson was the president of the trustee board at that time.
Mm-hmm.
My father was the president of the trustee board, and that's been a thing that gone down through generations.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't too spiritual, but we we handled the physical side of the church property.
Okay, what's the name of that church? What was the
King's Chapel AME Church.
Okay.
King's Chapel AME Church. And the church was purchased in the land for the present church, where mm-hmm. the present church building is now, and that's the third church building.
Mm.
The first church building was not built on that land. It was on some other land
mm-hmm.
that the church owned.
Right.
That land was purchased in 1887 from the town of Pendleton for $25. And the church was completed in 1889.
Oh, I see.
Church was rebuilt in 1958, and that's the present church that's standing now.
Okay.
But before that, in 1873
mm-hmm.
was when the first AME church was constructed.
I see.
So our family has been part of that church ever since its origin.
Oh, my God. Well, Ms. Johnson, could you, Ms. Thompson, I'm sorry, could you please give me a brief bibliography of yourself and your family? And I'll come back and then I'll combine.
Okay. I was born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And my father was a Jamaican. He came from Kingston, Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
And my father and mother met in Philadelphia. My mother died there. And I came here. I went to college here at South Carolina State, and I met Robert, and I came here.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been married for 43 years. And so here's where we live. We have five children,
mm-hmm.
four girls and a son.
Mm-hmm.
We had four girls, and then when we were 45, we had a son. So we have an 18-year-old son now.
Mm-hmm,
but I guess I know more about here than any place else because I've lived here longer than I've lived any place else.
Right, uh-huh.
But I've heard the beautiful stories about the Thompson family because mm-hmm. Robert's dad had, there were 14 of them, and they lived out there at, they called the walnut, what was it, the walnut grove out there in a place. And
mm-hmm.
and then there was a terrible tragedy in the family one night. Their house burned, and one of their sons got burned up in the family. But it seems as if, and their mother was named Josephine, their father was named Stuart.
Mm-hmm.
They had a very orderly family. The father built the furniture for the house. And but he died at an early age, and the mother took the responsibility of raising the family. But it seems as if she was a woman that had everything very well organized. The children had a special time for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
They had a special time for dinner and a special time for supper. The table was built big enough so that all 14 of the children could sit at the table at the same time. The older girls stood at the end because they were the ones to pour the milk. Each child had his own cup. After the blessing was said, they poured the milk, and then they all sat, and they had a special blessing that they said.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems everything that was done in that family was done very orderly, so it seems as if they had a real good family life. And then we were the next generation, I suppose, my husband,
mm-hmm.
and their family. And as I told you, we have the five children. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, could you tell me some of the, since your family is so close and evidently you did a lot together, could you tell me of some of the events that you can remember as growing up, Mr. Thompson, as far as the family? You know, what springs up in your head as far as some of the things that you did when you were younger in the family?
Well, the fun that we had, we worked. We were taught to work.
Okay,
we
we
made work fun.
Okay, what type of farming?
We didn't farm.
Oh, you didn't farm?
No, we didn't farm. We owned this little spot of land out here, 6 or 7 acres, but we didn't call that really farming. My daddy was a blacksmith to begin with, and after that he worked with machinery. He was the mechanic, what would be the equivalent of the mechanical engineer for a company now.
Mm-hmm.
But daddy always taught us to find a better way of doing everything.
Mm-hmm.
And every day he made work assignments.
Mm-hmm.
We could finish those work assignments any way we wanted to, as long as we did it right and did it well.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, our time was free. So we worked at many different projects, doing a lot of what would be considered strange things in order to make work easy.
Mm-hmm.
We even went so far. I had a great attachment to a little calf that was born when I was a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And it became mine. That was my pet, a little male calf, a little bull calf.
Mm-hmm.
And I played with that calf, and I got it just like a kid would have a dog. I had a calf.
Mm-hmm.
I got it where I could ride it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I eventually experimented with hooking it up to a wagon, made mm-hmm. a wagon. Mm-hmm. And so Daddy began to help me, and we trained that bull
mm-hmm.
and made a workable oxen out of him. When I was a kid.
Oh, man. Uh-huh.
And that was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
We always had fun in building ponds. We would mm-hmm. build ponds, not just an earthen dam. We mm-hmm. would take logs and build a pond. Daddy mm-hmm. would show us how to do that. Anything we wanted to do,
mm-hmm.
he would help us do it in a rather engineering type way.
Right.
And that was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. We thought we made our work fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, going back to blacksmith, now I'm not familiar with blacksmith. What are some of the things that blacksmith would do?
Well, blacksmith in any farming community, and all of the South was farming community just about, mm-hmm. except the cotton textile farming, and that was made exclusively in the white race.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the black part of it was farming.
Mm-hmm.
And the blacksmith was the backbone of the farmer, because the blacksmith is the same thing as your motor company is to the automotive engine industry.
Mm-hmm.
Blacksmith made farm machinery. They kept mm-hmm. up the farm machinery for the farmer. They sharpened the plows.
Mm-hmm.
And the shop that my daddy ran, he and his brother, they made plows. They made wagon wheels.
Mm-hmm.
They repaired wagons. They kept the shoes on the mules
mm-hmm.
and the horses.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when times were real tough and people didn't have much money, we were always able to eat real well, because a lot of times the farmers would trade chickens and eggs and ham mm-hmm. and all kind of things for work.
Mm-hmm.
In order to get their plow shop and their mule shod
mm.
when they didn't have the money to pay for it.
Right.
So we didn't farm, but we kept plenty of food farm food that way.
Can I tell one thing about Daddy?
Now, okay, but this land where we live now, Daddy was in college at the time when World War I broke out,
mm-hmm.
and he was drafted into the Army.
Mm-hmm. Where was he going to college?
South Carolina State.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And he went to France and served in France and came back home and bought this property, the original 1 acre here, in mm-hmm. 1918.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, and he bought the other part of the land in 1932, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But this house that we're in now is the woodwork, the framework of this house is part of the original house.
Mm-hmm.
The house was destroyed in a tornado in 1935 and was ramshackled so bad they had to tear it down to the foundation and rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
But this spot of land and this house, so to speak, is where we were all born.
Mm, I see. Okay.
There was one thing I found about Daddy that was so unique. This is Robert's father.
Mm-hmm.
He never made $3,000 the whole time he worked, but he was able to build a home and educate all four of his children. He sent them all to college, and he was able even to have money to leave to his children when he died. And I thought this was most mm-hmm. unique, because mm-hmm. that's not very much money, but he really knew how to spend a dollar, and he knew exactly how money was just, I don't know how he saved it, but this was so unique with him.
Mm-hmm.
He never wasted a penny.
Yeah. Well, one thing I was wondering, again, is that your father seemed to have gotten children very much together and doing the work and everything. Was there any special occasions for the family? Now, I take that you would not particularly participate in lay-by period, because you were not farmers.
No, we didn't.
Okay. Well, is there something in your church or your community that was something annually or that happens?
The May Day thing.
We always look forward to May Day at the school.
May Day, okay.
May Day was a big day at the school. It was a big celebration at the school during May, and what we call May Day, the first day of May.
Mm-hmm.
And we wrapped the maypoles, and they had different booths, and we had put on pageants, and that was a real fun time, too.
Mm-hmm.
The church mm-hmm. Sunday school picnic, the mm-hmm. annual Sunday school
and
picnic.
Went to the
we would always go to different places now.
When was that? What time of year was the picnic?
That was usually in August.
August, oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
We usually have that picnic in August now. The place we spent most of our picnics was on what we call the Seneca River Bottoms.
Okay.
That is under Lake Hartwell now.
Okay.
That was over some land over not far from Clemson University.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big cleared out spot down in a pasture on the side of the river.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we went to have our picnics.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we changed in later years and began to go to other places, but when I was very small, that's mm-hmm. where I remember the picnics being held.
Okay, and that's during basically the summer months.
Mm-hmm. During the summer months.
What were the winter months like up here? Was there a lot of snow and
mud?
Yeah, snow and mud. Now, there's one kind of unique thing about it. I was driving with someone else's relatives in a snowstorm one time, and I reached our destination
mm-hmm.
long before they did. And they came from snow country, and they couldn't understand how could you drive like that in the snow, and it was so hard for us, and we are accustomed to the snow.
Mm-hmm.
But if you could drive in the Piedmont, in the red mud, you could drive in any snow.
Okay.
Everywhere you went, it was red mud.
Okay, is there much red mud around now?
Yeah,
it's out there, but most of the streets are paved
uh-huh.
now. But back when we were kids, the streets were not paved.
Oh, I see.
And right after rain, you had to be very selective where you went in an automobile, or else you were in a mud hole, so you were stuck up.
Have you ever heard of the Great Batch community in Augsburg County?
No, I haven't.
That's where my mother's people settled. After they left Bonneville County, they owned a bunch of land over in Bonneville County,
mm-hmm.
and it was taken from them by whites. They had to almost give it away, and they moved to Augsburg County and established a place called the Great Branch Community.
Mm-hmm.
They built a church called Beauty Hill Baptist Church. It still exists.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, 9 miles out from Orangeburg.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. I've been in Orangeburg quite a bit. I've done some research.
Well, that's where they ended up, most of them
okay.
living there in Orangeburg.
Okay.
They were Daniels from Orangeburg. Those were my people in Orangeburg.
Okay.
But that was a real black community.
Okay.
They never really had a big settlement. But it was a flat land. It wasn't anything.
They liked this up here.
No, not so pretty as...
Yeah.
Is up here.
I think it's beautiful up here. One thing you were talking about the school and during the Depression time. Could you tell me more how the schools built around here? You were talking about the industrial schools and when I first came in.
Well, from what I can understand from talking with the older members of the family, back when my family was my father. Was real young.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they established a school in Oak Grove. That was more or less the family school, the community school, where the people in the community got together
mm-hmm.
and built them a school.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones mm-hmm. that were more knowledgeable, not necessarily, none of them were college graduates, just
mm-hmm.
no, more knowledgeable than the others, did the teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing happened here in the town of Pendleton. The first school was built here. Was built by the people, the citizens of this town,
mm-hmm.
in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the first principal was a lady named Miss Rena Clark. I remember Miss Rena Clark still being the principal, and she was a very old lady at that time when I was a little boy.
Mm.
And she was the first principal. Now, when the county took over the schools, then they put some standards on education. And that's when they brought in the first principal that was certified,
mm-hmm.
and that was Mr. Goldman, B.W. Goldman.
Mm-hmm.
But even during those days, the school got very little support from the county.
And you're talking about the 1920s, 30s?
Back in the 20s and the 30s
uh-huh.
and all. The school
uh-huh.
received very little support from the counties. Back then, the school even had a black Board of Trustees. Mm-hmm. My father was one of the members of the Board of Trustees of the school. Mm-hmm. But after the county took over, they didn't disband. They kept the black trustees, but they had very, very little power.
Mm-hmm.
They were just mostly a
figurehead.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And I think it was about 6 prominent men in the community were still trustees back when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But
and usually where you saw a black church, mm-hmm. you always saw a little school right in the yard or right near the yard when you run, because
right.
the people in that community would provide some type of little school mm-hmm. for their children. And this was just common all over the state of South Carolina because they wanted to provide some type of education for their children. Mm-hmm. It was prominent here, a little part of the state and everywhere in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Did you have the gene teachers up here?
Yes.
Yeah, they had gene teachers.
Sure okay. did. Miss Alice Webb Anderson was the one that I remember when I was a kid.
Oh, okay.
She was the genes teacher for years.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, you mentioned earlier there's going to be a big reunion in July for a school, and you were giving me a history of how that industrial school.
That.
Anderson County.
That was the Anderson County training school.
Yeah.
Well, this was a regular academic school.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't what it sounded like.
Uh-huh.
Anderson County Training School was a high school, was the only high school in this area.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was other schools in other counties that were named county training schools.
Okay.
And that was to avoid people being confused with the white high school.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was basically why they named them training schools.
Mm.
And also they taught home economics in those schools. And they taught they had 4-H classes
mm-hmm.
in those schools, and they relied heavily on those two areas.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that may be what it.
Their thing was not thinking mm-hmm. of black children in the way of educating black children.
Mm-hmm.
It was more like they were saying, we are going to build a school to train black children.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Oh, right, uh-huh.
It wasn't their aim to educate us. It was their aim to maybe train us how to cook. But in the meantime, we had black teachers who were knowledgeable enough and educated enough and to want us to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And they were willing to train black, to teach black children the basics of education.
Right.
But at that point when they were helping us, that was their point.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, they wanted to make us sound like that we were not educable.
Mm-hmm.
We were not educable people.
Right.
We were trainable people.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah, I understand. Yes, we had Burke Industrial School. That's why, I think
uh-huh.
that's why.
Uh-huh. They put these titles on us, mm-hmm. you know.
Right.
Labels. Is what it really was.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to label us as some kind of inferior people.
Mm-hmm. That one could
so training schools and industrial schools and this kind of thing really put a label on us. But that's what they were just calling those schools.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were very good schools.
But right. now black schools in this area, in fact, black people in this area were very proud.
Mm-hmm.
Just about that
they
was one
black,
of that was one of the
mm-hmm.
the unusual things about this area. Back. When I was growing up, when I was a teenager,
mm-hmm.
every black person lived here. Homes may not have been so fine, but every black person just about who lived in this area owned what they lived in.
Mm-hmm.
There was no such thing as rental housing.
Mm-hmm.
All the black people owned what they had.
Mm-hmm.
And the rental housing has just come about here recently through,
mm-hmm.
But most
of that is rented by people who come into
the area. But the original black people of this town is
mm-hmm.
about 7 or 8 black families
mm.
that were originally in this town, and all of those families owned what
yeah.
they had.
Yeah.
And all of them made efforts to educate their children.
Right. Well, the younger, like your children and the other family's children, where are those children now? Are they coming back to the community?
No,
and that's
no.
the problem. That's the problem we have now. All of these families educated their kids, but very few of these kids came to this area because there was nothing here to support the type of education they received.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a severe handicap to us.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're beginning to get the type of industry, and especially high-tech industry in the
mm-hmm.
area, that will attract
okay.
some of the kids back here to this area. We,
mm-hmm.
We're very hopeful for that.
Yeah. Where are your children now? I know you said you have 2 still at home.
We have our son.
Mm-hmm.
that's home.
Mm-hmm.
And we have our daughter who is divorced and her girl who's living with us mm-hmm. now. But our other three daughters, one's in Albuquerque, New Mexico, oh. one's in St. Thomas, Virgin oh. Island, and the other one lives
with
in,
your family?
Huh?
With your family, is she?
No. No, my family was from Jamaica.
My
father's family was from Jamaica.
Oh, okay.
But she's living in St. Thomas, mm-hmm. and the other one lives in St. Croix.
Oh, okay, okay.
But they had nothing to do with my people coming from the island at all,
mm-hmm.
just because when they were trained and they just seeked employment other places. Mm-hmm. In fact, my second daughter went down there to be a manager for a legal service, and then she was promoted to the executive director of the legal service for the three islands, St. John's, St. Thomas, and St. Croix.
Mm-hmm.
And then my other daughter was teaching at Rhode Island College at the time. She went down then, became part of the educational system there at St. Thomas.
Oh,
and
I
she
see.
Married there, and they bought homes then, and they're living there. My other daughter lives, is married, and she lives in Albuquerque.
Oh, I see. And you said that you, along with the having the training school anniversary, homecoming, reunion in July, you also going to have, will be having your family reunion.
Well, there are three uh-huh. big reunions taking place along about the same time.
Okay.
The Vance family, which is a very large family, which originally, one of the original families of this area,
mm-hmm.
will be having their family reunion this year. They
mm-hmm.
have their reunion every 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
The Thompson family have their reunion every 2 years, and
mm-hmm.
it will come at the same time the Vance reunion
oh.
will be here.
Mm-hmm.
The what we call the class reunion.
Mm-hmm.
It's anyone who attended Anderson County Training School,
mm-hmm.
and when they built the separate but equal schools,
mm-hmm.
Riverside School
mm-hmm.
became the high school then,
right.
and all the kids that went to that school.
Mm-hmm.
And we have people participating who attended school from 1921 to 1970.
Okay, that was basically the ending of those schools?
That was the ending of those schools.
Okay.
Now, anyone who attended those schools during that time,
mm-hmm.
those
mm-hmm.
are the people who will be coming here for this reunion.
Okay.
And we have chapters in, we have a chapter in Los Angeles, California, one in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
Connecticut,
New Haven, Connecticut,
mm-hmm.
Atlanta, Georgia,
mm-hmm.
and
New York City,
mm-hmm.
and Pendleton, South Carolina.
Oh, my gosh.
Those are the chapters. And those people who live in those areas, along with some of their friends, now we allow them to bring friends,
uh-huh.
too.
Right.
They will be coming here for this reunion.
Okay, but what time would that be? Oh.
That would be the second week in July.
Oh, second week in July. I'll definitely try to leave my calendar over.
Well, tell her about some of the things that they do. I think this
will
be very interesting.
Okay.
Each chapter raise money through their chapters,
mm-hmm.
and when we come together every 2 years, we have a good time to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
We begin along about Thursday and end up Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We all
okay.
come to the Ramada Inn at Clemson. That's where we hold.
Oh, okay.
But we hold affairs in the schools. We have
career
development day.
Mm-hmm.
During one day, we'll have a big picnic.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have what we call a country and western session,
mm-hmm.
which will be a fun session one evening,
mm-hmm.
going on over into the night.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a Mardi Gras.
I guess.
And then we'll have
give scholarship.
A banquet, and then we'll give two scholarships.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give a scholarship, no, one scholarship. We give a scholarship each year
mm.
to some deserving child. We don't look for the smartest child.
Mm-hmm.
We look for the most needy child that needs to go to college, that
right.
wants to go to college,
mm-hmm.
and that we give that person a scholarship. We give one each year.
Mm-hmm.
They also give money to help support the center, because that is the home of the school
mm-hmm.
that we are celebrating.
Okay.
The center here in Pendleton, and the center in the New Light area, and that was another little school. See. Well, the kids are bussed in now. You didn't
mm-hmm.
have transportation back then.
Mm-hmm.
And each little community had its own school, which was part of the school system.
Mm-hmm.
There was a school in New Light,
mm-hmm.
which that community got together and did the same thing and made it into a community center there.
Mm-hmm.
And this organization helped support that that center also.
Oh, I see. How long has this reunion actually taken place?
This will be our 10th reunion.
Oh, okay.
So we are celebrating our 10th reunion this
mm-hmm.
time.
Okay. Well, I definitely would like to come to see that. I'm going to put on my calendar and definitely try to block that time out. And let's see, something else. One thing I do want, the half an hour is just about over, but you said something about the YPA, you know, the youth program
NYA.
Of the NYA. Mm-hmm. In NYA. Could you tell me somewhat about that so I can get a better understanding of that program during the Roosevelt period, because it happened during the WPA period. Could you kind of give me a brief understanding of that, what that really was?
Well, the youth organization that was used during that area was like the young WPA,
mm-hmm.
school-age kids. It helped with their training. It helped provide them with income. I don't know what we made for making fires in the school,
mm-hmm.
but I know I was one of the persons that went over to school early in the morning. We were responsible for making fire in the school so the school would be warm when the kids got there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we did for whatever it was we were paid. I think
they had all sorts of little things for the kids to do. In some of the urban communities, they did other little things, like mm-hmm. they cleaned up the civic buildings and things in the town.
Mm-hmm.
But you had to be from a certain income and this kind of thing.
And
but
every,
then all black
everybody people. Was from that income.
Income.
But no one had anything.
I think it was $11 a month that we received
mm-hmm.
for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Something equal to, what is the program now we have? That we have at the center and all that I work with the kids.
It was the Cedar